Welcome to Carmen Madrid's podcast. Are you preparing for the Delhi B2 or C1 exam? This podcast is made just for you. Carmen Madrid is an accredited examiner from the Instituto Cervantes and your new tutor for this exam. Each episode features a conversation between two speakers generated using advanced AI technology. These conversations are about a previous episode of a Spanish podcast on the Delhi B2 and C1 exams. But that's not all. We offer a range of services to support your learning journey. One-on-one and group Spanish classes, books for Delhi preparation to help you study effectively, exclusive access to the News Club and Reading Club, plus our advanced grammar workshop to deepen your understanding of Spanish. You can find everything at DelhiExam.com. Join us in taking your Spanish to the next level. I'll leave you with my AI friends. Enjoy.
Our mission today.
Well, it's really to turn those overwhelming exam constraints into clear, actionable strategy for you. Mm-hmm. We are opening up the DELE C1 oral examination and specifically focusing on what many find the most challenging part, Tarea 1, the oral exposition, that monologue.
That's absolutely right. If you're gearing up for C1, you kind of need a shortcut to getting this right. We're distilling the core expectations, the summary, the critical evaluation of the text, and then expressing your own sophisticated opinion.
Yeah.
Tarea 1 is definitely where candidates often feel the most pressure, so we're going to outline the precise framework the examiners are actually using.
Okay, perfect. So let's unpack the whole structure first, just briefly. The C1 oral test, it's 20 minutes long in total, right? But it's made up of three tasks.
Correct. Three distinct parts.
Tarea 1 is our main focus today, that solo monologue. Then there's Tarea 2, which is the interview based on the article you picked for Tarea 1.
Mm-hmm.
And Tarea 3 is usually some kind of negotiation or chat, maybe based on an image or a graph.
Exactly. So three parts in that 20-minute exam slot.
Yeah.
But before that, there's the prep time. The logistics are pretty rigid.
Right.
You get 20 minutes for preparation and then the 20 minutes for the actual exam itself. The prep happens in a separate room.
Okay.
There's support staff there. They manage the clock, keep you on track, and they offer you a choice between two different articles.
Okay. Two options.
Yep. And that 20 minutes of prep, it has to cover everything, synthesizing that quite long text for Tarea 1 and making whatever notes you need for the Tarea 2 interview questions later.
Wow. Okay. So that 20 minutes is really crunched. Then you move into the actual exam room and the whole vibe changes, I imagine.
It really does. You walk in and there are two examiners waiting.
Two. Okay.
Yes. One is the interlocutor. That's the person who will actually talk to you, introduce the tasks, manage the time, ask the questions in Tarea 2.
Got it. The interactive one.
Exactly. And the other one is the calificador.
Huh.
The silent grader.
The silent grader. That sounds a bit intimidating.
It can feel that way. The calificador is purely focused on evaluation. They usually sit slightly behind you, actually.
Oh, really? Behind you?
Yeah, often slightly off to the side and behind. They make very little, sometimes no eye contact. They're just observing your performance against that detailed criteria grid.
Huh.
It's a really crucial psychological point for you to remember. Their silence isn't like disapproval or anything. It's just their job. They're busy filling out the scoring sheet while the interlocutor handles the conversation flow.
Okay, that's good to know. Manage expectations there. And I heard before the actual graded part starts, there's like a little bit of small talk.
Yes, exactly. Before the official clock starts ticking on your performance, the examiners engage in some very brief icebreaker questions.
Like, how are you type thing?
Pretty much. It's not graded. And honestly, it might not always succeed in making you feel relaxed.
Right. Probably still pretty nervous.
You probably are. But it serves an official purpose. It helps them decide whether to address you formally using usted or informally using to for the rest of the exam.
Ah, I see. So it's just about setting the right register for the interaction.
Precisely. A little touch of cultural expectation before the academic rigor really kicks in.
Okay, makes sense. So that pressure cooker environment really starts the moment you choose your article in the prep room. Let's drill down into that prep phase for Tarea 1. You choose one text out of two. What are these texts actually like?
They are substantial. Really substantial. We're talking dense articles, usually around 750 to 850 words.
Wow, that's long for 20 minutes prep.
It is. And they're often professional level journalistic pieces or maybe academic light articles. They cover pretty high level topics.
Mm.
You know, anything from specific environmental policies, the impact of social media on politics, maybe even the economics of cheese production in Spain. Who knows?
Okay. Quite a range then.
Absolutely. The thematic breadth is wide, which means your active vocabulary really needs to be expansive and ideally somewhat specialized depending on the topic you get.
And as we said, you only have that 20 minutes to read it, figure out the main points, structure a, 3 to 5 minute monologue?
And prep for the interview questions, too.
And prep for Taria, too. That seems incredibly tight for analyzing such long, complex texts. Especially, you mentioned the examiners have a list of ideas they expect you to cover, like a checklist.
It is ambitious, definitely, which is why solid preparation strategy matters way more than just trying to wing it on the day. The sources we looked at confirm the examiners basically operate with this detailed treasure map that's the scoring sheet.
Okay.
It defines the four core pillars they're using to assess your C1 performance. If you understand those four pillars, you know exactly what you need to pull out of that 800-word text during your 20 minutes.
All right, let's get into those then. The four pillars of C1 oral grading. What's the first one?
Okay, the first pillar is probably the most crucial for Taria 1, and it's the one that's seen the biggest change recently. Mediation.
Okay, I heard that replaced coherence.
Exactly. Since 2024, it replaced the older coherency criterion. And it assesses how effectively you, specifically, summarize, value, and express your opinion on the source text provided. Ah, okay. So it's tied directly to the article.
Very directly. This is a huge shift because it means it's not enough just to be, you know, generally coherent or talk smoothly about the topic. You have to show you've understood and can synthesize the specific article you read.
Right. But hang on. If the examiner has this strict checklist of main and maybe secondary ideas from the text, doesn't that make the 20-minute prep time feel even more impossible? How do you make sure you hit their points, not just your general take?
Well, the strategy really has to be about looking for the structural cues in the text itself. You've got to quickly identify the core thesis, the main argument, and then maybe the three or four key supporting points or examples the author uses.
Okay, so focus on the article's own structure.
Precisely. Your mediation score is basically a measure of your reading comprehension skills translated into well-structured oral production. If you score low here, it generally means you either didn't quite grasp the text's main arguments, or you couldn't present them clearly.
Understood. Okay, synthesis first and foremost for mediation. What's pillar number two?
Number two is fluidez, fluency. This is pretty much what it sounds like, the natural flow and rhythm of your speech.
Smoothness.
Yeah, smoothness, sustained momentum. They're looking for speech that flows, well, like a river, not like a bottle of ketchup you're struggling to get the last bit out of.
Uh-huh. Good analogy. So pauses are okay.
Pauses are absolutely okay. Natural, even reflective pauses are fine. But they shouldn't be excessively long hesitations where it sounds like you're constantly struggling to find a basic word or figure out how to structure a sentence. The pace needs to feel comfortable and controlled.
Got it. And number three?
Third is correction, accuracy. And at C1, this goes way beyond just getting basic grammar right.
Right. This isn't B1 anymore.
Definitely not. The grading criteria explicitly demand complex grammatical structures. We're talking about consistent, accurate use of things like the subjunctive mood, complex sentences with subordination, varied relative clauses, using all the major tenses correctly, especially compound tenses.
So showing off the grammatical toolkit, essentially?
That's a good way to put it. You have to demonstrate complexity, not just basic correctness. If your speech relies too heavily on, say, just the present indicative, even if you use it perfectly.
Like Tarzan Spanish. Me Tarzan, you Jane.
Huh. Maybe not quite that bad, but yes, if it's too simple structurally, you'll seriously limit your score in this category. They expect to see that you can handle the language's more complex tools and use them pretty accurately.
Okay. Complex structures for correction. And the final pillar, number four.
Number four is Elkins, range.
Range. Meaning vocabulary.
Exactly. Your vocabulary. It needs to be both rich and precise. And crucially, it needs to adapt properly to the specific topic of the article you chose, whether that's economics, ethics, technology, whatever it is.
So generic, everyday words won't cut it.
Not really, no.
Right.
You need to show you have access to, ideally, some idiomatic expressions, but definitely a wide range of specific terminology that matches the complexity in the field of the source material.
Makes sense. You need the words to talk about the ideas.
Precisely. So those four pillars, mediatio, fluidez, correction, and Elkins, that's the complete assessment grid for C1 oral skills.
Okay, that's a lot to keep in mind. So knowing we need to hit all four of those, especially that demanding mediation requirement with the text synthesis, what does the ideal, say, 3 to 5 minute monologue actually look like? We need a solid structure, right?
Absolutely. A clear structure is essential. The sources suggest a pretty standard, effective four-part structure.
Okay, let's hear it.
First, a brief introduction. You state the topic clearly, maybe mention the type of article or where it's from, and perhaps, optionally, touch on the author's main stance or intention right at the start. Keep it concise.
Intro, topic, and maybe author's aim. Got it.
Second, the main part, the summary. This is where you extract and present the principal ideas and maybe one or two key secondary points from the article. This directly addresses that mediation criterion. You need to be objective here, like you're relaying the article's message.
Okay, the objective summary hitting those key points. Then what?
Third, a short conclusion, or perhaps better termed, evaluation of the text itself. Here you can transition slightly from just summarizing to maybe commenting briefly on how the author presented the arguments, or the overall effectiveness of the piece. It links back to the intro.
So a mini critique or comment on the article's structure or argument.
Sort of, yeah. A bridge towards your own view. And that leads directly into the fourth and final phase, your personal opinion.
The part where you get to speak your mind.
Exactly. This is the critical shift. It's really the main segment where you move beyond just processing the text, C1 synthesis, to expressing your own independent C1 level thoughts and arguments related to the topic. You need a clear connector here, like any pimpeth or is it mi punto de vista, to signal the shift very clearly.
That transition sounds absolutely crucial for the score. You know, speaking of transitions, here's a practical tip I picked up. While you're waiting outside the exam room, mentally rehearse your very first opening sentence.
Oh, that's a great tip.
Yeah, the sources suggest that initial anxiety can sometimes make candidates just freeze or go blank for those first few vital seconds when the examiner says, okay, you can start. Having that first sentence locked and loaded gives you instant momentum.
Absolutely. It helps you hit the ground running and demonstrates immediate fluency, which feeds into that fluidity score right away. So once the interlocutor confirms which article you chose and gives you the green light, the clock starts. You've got typically between 3 and 5 minutes for this monologue.
Right. And there's a specific rule about timing now, isn't there? They don't interrupt you at first.
That's right. This is relatively new. The examiner will not interrupt you for the first 3 minutes. That's your protected time to lay out your structure, get through your summary.
Okay, 3 minutes guaranteed.
But once those 3 minutes are up, the examiner will give you some kind of signal, maybe a hand gesture, a quiet word, just to let you know you've hit the minimum time and you have up to 2 minutes left.
And that's the cue to make sure you're moving towards the conclusion and definitely the personal opinion part.
Exactly. And if they see you're getting close to the 5 minute maximum and you haven't yet clearly started your personal opinion or valuation, they might give another gentle nudge or prompt.
Okay.
They generally want you to complete all the required parts of the task structure. It's not about tricking you. It's about ensuring you demonstrate all the skills needed.
Makes sense. Now, what about notes? We made notes in the prep time. How much can we actually use them during the monologue?
That's a really important point. Your notes absolutely must be just scaffolding, maybe keywords or a structural outline. They cannot be a full script you read from.
Why is that?
Because if you're constantly looking down, reading word for word, you completely destroy your fluidez score. You'll have long, unnatural pauses, you lose eye contact, and it stops sounding like communication and starts sounding like, well, reading.
Right. Kills a natural flow.
Totally. The aim is for a personal, well-structured summary and opinion, delivered with enough confidence that you can maintain relatively consistent eye contact and a conversational pace. Use connectors words like además, sin embargo, por lo tanto. Those are like the glue holding your discourse together. They really boost your mediation and correction scores too, showing logical flow and complex sentence lengths.
Okay, so notes are a safety net, not a script. Use keywords, focus on flow, eye contact, and definitely use those connectors. The overall goal for Terrio 1 then is what? Achieving this perfect structure, complexity, specialized words, but making it all sound completely natural and unscripted.
That's the balancing act, precisely. It sounds demanding, and it is. Yeah. It really requires intense, sustained exposure to Spanish and lots of practice.
How do you practice for that specifically?
To really internalize the kind of vocabulary you need for alcance and the complex sentence structures for correction, you have to make high-level Spanish a daily habit. Read the opinion sections of major Spanish newspapers like El País or El Mundo. Watch Spanish news commentary shows. Actively discuss current events in Spanish if you can.
Immerse yourself.
Exactly. The fluency and naturalness they're looking for really comes as a byproduct of deep familiarity with the language used at that level. You can't just cram structures the night before.
Good advice. So as we wrap up this deep dive into Terrio 1, the main takeaway seems to be understand the four pillars. practice that four-part structure, and focus on synthesis. And remember, the examiners are just professionals doing a job.
Absolutely. Trust the preparation you've done. Focus on clearly conveying the article's main arguments first, then your opinion. Use your notes as a guide, a map, not a teleprompter. And maybe here's a final thought for you to consider. If this DELE C1-TERIA 1 demands that you synthesize these quite complex 800-word articles, value them, and express your own original opinions, all while juggling complex grammar and rich vocabulary under time pressure, what do you think the single biggest challenge truly is? Is it the mental load of processing and synthesizing those specific ideas accurately on the spot? Or is it more about maintaining that high C1 language quality, the fluency, accuracy range, while you're actively thinking and formulating your arguments in real time?
That's a great question to ponder. Is it the thinking or the talking under pressure? Something for everyone preparing to really reflect on.